And what about your food? I'm always interested in food budgets because we have clients come through all the time who spend varying amounts on their groceries.
We see some shocking food.
Dude, what's the worst one? I bet you mine's worse.
I think it might be. I think ours was the worst I've seen was $4,000 a month.
That was the
family
same
of four. I think that included takeaways though.
Oh no, see, mine did not include takeaways.
How much was
four
it?
Grand a month plus dining out, takeaways and lunches. It's a lot of money.
Were they like buying caviar for every
They must have been.
They were shopping at Farrow Fresh.
Champagne and caviar for breakfast every day, I'm pretty sure.
Welcome to Checks and Balances. This is not Michael Vincent and not James Blair. We are Michaela and Jess, and we are here for the Takeover Edition, sponsored by Partners Life.
Yes, very exciting. Michaela and I, between us, have 20 years working in financial services. Sounds like a really long time when you put it that way.
It is kind of a really long time.
What have you been up to for your 10 years?
I started in Canada working in the banking industry. So I started as a little bank teller, worked my way up to financial advisor, and moved over to New Zealand about 5 years ago. I worked in the non-bank space for a while, and then I've been at Lighthouse for just over 2 years now, working in the mortgage team.
The best 2 years.
Best 2 years obviously of my life.
Yeah. And I started off in pensions and superannuation, which is about as exciting as it sounds. Pretty dry stuff, but had a great time, great workmates doing that for a couple of years. And then I worked in private equity in London for a while. I lived in London for 8 years, so kind of recently come back and got married and bought a house and all that stuff, and got a job at Lighthouse. So I'm pretty new to the scene here, but enjoying it.
We love to see it. What yeah. is private equity, Jess?
What is none of your business? It's private. Now we can maybe talk about that on another episode.
And this time we're talking about the basics of budgeting.
Yes, very exciting. This is something I do a lot of in my job. So hopefully I'll be able to help you through your budget as well. This is something that we're
Jess kind of is going to help me because I've literally never budgeted my money in my life. It's the most terrifying thing.
Yeah.
She keeps asking me to download a budgeting app. And I like, I just can't do it because I don't want to be confronted with that information.
I think that's what puts a lot of people off. But actually, I find it takes the stress out of spending because you know exactly what you can spend. Because if you're not budgeting, what are you doing?
I'm you're just winging spending.
It. Just winging it.
Absolutely. Just dollars out the door.
Yeah. So I have found that the more structure I give myself, the better I feel because I know exactly how much I can spend on certain things, and it's counterintuitive, but it does take the stress out of it. So hopefully that's what we can do for you today as well. We'll take you through sort of some basic steps to get started on a budget, you know, and hopefully you end up in a place where everything's clear, structured. That's my bread and butter. I love a spreadsheet.
Nerd.
Absolute spreadsheet nerd.
What are like the basics that someone should be noting down for the like, the start of their budget? Main yeah. categories.
I think we've got to start with your income right at the beginning. So
that's important.
A lot of people, yeah. Well, you'd be surprised. We get clients all the time who tell us a figure that they earn. And then we see the money actually coming into their account and it's way off. You're either not aware of what your salary is or there are some deductions coming off your payslip. I'll always ask people, just send me a payslip and I'll have a look at it. I even had one this week where there's $100 a fortnight coming off and I can't quite tell why. So are they aware of that or I'm not sure. So I think the first takeaway of today is make sure you know what your salary number is, but also how that ends up being what comes into your bank account. And there's a free tool online. It's the PAYE calculator. So you can very easily just plug your salary in, what your KiwiSaver contributions are, whether you have a student loan, and it will spit out the annual, monthly, fortnightly, weekly, even hourly pay rate at the end of it. So that should match your payslip. And if it doesn't match your payslip, you should be able to see very clearly why it doesn't match your payslip. You know, you might be part of a group insurance scheme through your employer or something, so that's coming off or whatever it is. But you should know. You should. I think a lot of people don't check.
It's so common that people, especially when you start a new job and like someone hands you the contract And a lot of the time the employer will include what they contribute to your KiwiSaver inside your like total remuneration. So you look at your contract and you're like, oh, wow, I'm making like, you know, this great amount of money. Mm-hmm. But actually a huge chunk of that is just they've added in their
employer contributions.
Or like there's other ones too. Like, yeah, you know, I've seen heaps where they just add in things like even like annual leave budgets or things like that. So you have to be really mindful of what you're actually getting paid, because we see it all the time in mortgage applications where someone will plug in their income is like $200,000 a year, and it's actually, you know, like the before tax amount is actually like $180,000, and that changes your after tax amount and changes everything.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's really it's a lot more surprising. I'd say, a lot more common. I'd say about 80% of people that we work with don't actually, their income figure before and after tax doesn't match.
Yeah. So start with your income.
Start with that. And, you know, open up a spreadsheet, have your income figures at the top. This is what I earn every month, every fortnight, every week, whatever you want to do. The next step is to go through your expenses. So a really easy place to start is your fixed expenses. So you know that you have to pay your rent or mortgage. You know you have to pay your phone bill, your internet bill. You know you've got groceries. You've got transport costs, petrol or public transport, either way. You've got these things that you know you have to pay for. So start writing them down. Make a list in your spreadsheet of what those costs are. And I can take you through some of mine if that's helpful.
I also have to say, like, if you're not an Excel whiz, because I certainly am not, I think
phone
you might
friend.
Be, you can you can just write it out on paper, open a Word document, like, just write it down, and once it's written, you can work it out.
But a budget on paper, the thought of that stresses
me out.
Sorry,
that's probably really
that's
scary.
That's triggering.
That's actually how, anytime I've attempted to do a budget, it's like I've grabbed a random piece of paper out of a notebook and just been like, right,
no,
$1,000 minus $200.
I can't do that. I mean, there are also some amazing free budgeting tools online. I'm sure there's thousands of them. You could probably let us know in the comments if you've got one that you recommend. But the sorted.org has a great free budgeting tool on there. So you can plug in your income, plug in your expenses, then they'll prompt you to start thinking of different line items in your budget that you should include. So that's a really good one. A simple spreadsheet is also, that's my preference. And if you're not good at spreadsheets, phone a friend. You can phone me. I'll help you out with the spreadsheet. It's a good place to start, just to start listing out things. So mortgage, power, food, phones, water, internet, petrol, parking, those types of things. And now you can go through your bank statements. Normally look through about 2 months, 3 months worth of bank statements and start trying to guesstimate what you can see the deductions coming off of your account. Start trying to guesstimate, you know, your monthly, fortnightly, weekly costs in each of those categories. Just list them out, I think, is a good place to start.
There's also, you might talk about it, maybe I've stolen your thunder, but there's a really cool tool that you are peer pressuring me into using called, is it like PocketSmith?
Yes.
And so rather than you having to dig through the trenches of your bank statement, it will do it for you.
Absolutely.
Which I'm a bit scared to do because I don't really want to see what it comes out with. But it will save a lot of time, like actually having to pick through like how much should I spend on smoothies this week.
Totally.
It'll tell you instead.
And there are some really surprising, like even I feel like I'm quite aware of what I spend in my petrol and groceries since I've started using PocketSmith in the last 3 or 4 months. I spend about 30 to 40% more than I thought I did. On petrol and groceries specifically, those two things, which are quite common. I'm sure a lot of people are probably in the same boat there.
I like drive once a month, so I spend like $0.
Oh, so you probably know. Yeah, you probably know exactly what you spend. So I thought maybe to make it sort of interesting, we'll go through a couple of our budget figures to try and make, you know, put a dollar figure on some of these things and compare it to the national average according to Stats New Zealand.
So you're putting me on blast.
I am. So our power bill. What do you pay for power? Do you know?
Ooh, okay, wait. I might have to pull out the old. Okay, I did write this down. Jess gave me homework. I'm prepared. We've changed power companies so many times. We use Electric Kiwi. You shouldn't be scared to like change companies because a lot of people, like, you get stuck in the like, oh, well, that's just who my provider is, so I'll just pay the bill. But like premiums go up, like, you know, whatever, they add extra fees, things like that. So over time, it can creep up on you.
Yeah, and set a calendar reminder is what I do. I've got a calendar reminder every year to revisit these things because, insurance premiums, power companies, internet, I'm sure there's a couple of others that tend to just creep up
on. I think we change our power company every maybe a year and a bit, just because there always seems to be a new
deal out. Do you get a free fridge? Yeah.
We did not. We almost, there was one once where they're like, you could get a free TV.
Yeah.
And we were like, sick, but also it wasn't that much cheaper than what we were currently on.
Yeah, you got to do the math on that. Yeah. It's sucking you.
Yeah. So I think for us, like our average power spend is about $135 a fortnight. I feel like that's quite high. But I'm also like cold all the time. So the heat pump.
You're pumping the heat pump. So we spend $56 a fortnight, and the national average is about $100 a fortnight.
Are you just cold all the time, like wrapped in a jumper, heat off?
No. Maybe because it's a new build.
Maybe.
New builds are very, like, new builds are almost too well insulated. Like,
I don't think I have any insulation.
We've still got windows open. I'm sleeping with my windows open.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. It's that hot.
Before we move on, we talk all the time about planning and growing our wealth. But protecting that wealth is just as important. That's why having the right insurance in place can help when life goes unexpectedly.
And that's why this episode is brought to you by Partners Life, a New Zealand-operated award-winning insurance provider with over 300,000 Kiwis insured and 89% of claims paid.
Partners Life understand that having some insurance is better than having no insurance. They have flexible and personalized solutions for any budget or situation.
Check out their website in our show notes below.
And what about your food? I'm always interested in food budgets because we have clients come through all the time who spend varying amounts on their groceries.
We see some shocking food.
What's the worst one? I bet you mine's worse.
I think it might be. Ours was, the worst I've seen was $4,000. A month.
That was the
family of four. I think that included takeaways though.
Oh no, see, mine did not include takeaways.
How much was
it? $4,000 a month plus dining out, takeaways and lunches. It's a lot of money.
Were they like buying caviar for everyone?
They must have been.
They were shopping at Faro Fresh.
Champagne and caviar for breakfast every day, I'm pretty sure.
My food bill, so I worked, because I'm married, so I had to divide. I'm just sort of looking at my own figures.
Yeah, but we're talking that, we should say that. We're talking as a couple, like as two people with no children.
Yeah, two people, no children. But our average food bill monthly is about $870, which is, and that's just groceries. I think we probably spend about $50 a week on takeaways, which that's all right, right?
It's okay.
That's not offensive.
No. I'll allow it.
But I was surprised by the grocery bill, because especially right now in the grocery stores, like prices are so expensive. Mm. It's just wild. I don't really do the grocery shopping that often. My partner does it. David does the grocery shopping.
I love that.
So every time I do go, I'm like blown away by the prices of food at the minute.
Yeah.
So I was actually quite surprised that we were spending about $200 a week on average on groceries, which was like, well, that was actually less than I expected.
Yeah, it turns out you are bang average, because the national average is $200 a week. So you're not over under, you're spot on. And on average, that's just groceries. But on average, the food spend is $300 a week. So it includes dining out and things like that.
Takeaway, like going out for dinner and getting like an Uber Eats. If anyone watched the Checks and Balances Uber Eats episode, that can like get away from you so fast.
Matt knows
about especially it. When you're, yeah. Especially when you're buying for like as a couple, well, you're always feeding two people, and like, I think one of the things that we try and be mindful of is like, if we want takeout and that shop is like a 15, 20 minute drive away from our house, just call and go get it, because the fees that Uber Eats charges are ridiculous.
And it's more, it's actually more than, so we have a place called Sensational Chicken near our house, which we really enjoy.
Sensational and Chicken.
It is Sensational Chicken. And the actual menu items are more expensive on Uber Eats than on their menu too.
Definitely.
So it's not just the delivery fee. It's actually, there's an increase on each item as well.
Yeah. Take the time, make the drive. Mm. You don't, you know, you can go in your sweatpants. Avoid the app tax. It's fine. You don't have to get dressed up. Avoid the app tax.
What do you pay for your phone bill?
My phone bill is $70.
Just yours?
Just mine.
Oh, yeah.
We're, well, I think we're 70 each.
Petrol, I think, is a good one. You don't spend anything on petrol.
I hate driving, So I'm a public transport girly.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. You live in Auckland. So I budget $50 a week for petrol. But like I said, I've been blowing that budget by about 30%. The national average spend is $54 a week on petrol. So, yeah.
I also really want to point out, because I just learned this week, that bus fares are actually quite high at the minute. I usually just tap my hop card. I don't really pay attention. I've got like the auto top up set, so I don't really pay attention to what's just coming off of it.
Tap.
And I just looked this week, $4.45 each way. So I'm spending about $9 a day on public transport costs. And I'm just coming from like Glenfield to the CBD. It's like 30-40 minute bus ride. And you know, if I didn't have to pay for a parking spot, it would actually be cheaper for me to drive to work, because the cost of petrol is actually averages out less to the cost of public transport.
That's crazy, isn't it? I suppose, yeah. Well, I pay $54 a week on parking as well on top. So it's not that bad for CBD.
If anyone knows of like a $9 parking spot that I can justify driving to work, please let me know.
Yeah, exactly. And so the next bit, I think these are things that a lot of people, do you subscribe to lots of things, like as in Spotify?
Spotify, Netflix. Yeah, that's probably about it. That's we try it? And only have one streaming service at a time, because if there's a show that we want to watch and it's like, let's say it's on Amazon Prime,
you'll switch
then
to that.
We'll like switch to that.
That is so
watch
smart.
The show. And then, like, you can cancel them at any time. So
why don't
cancel,
I do that?
Switch back to
Do you
Netflix.
Want to hear my subscription list? I know people that are worse than me, but Spotify, Apple, Netflix, Disney, I have all of those.
Wow. What do you watch
I can't
on
watch
Disney?
All of them at the same time. So no, why you do can't. I? what do I watch on Disney? Disney movies.
See, you don't even know because you're not using it.
No, Disney movies all the time. I'll put Moana on. Frozen.
Okay. Moana is a banger.
Lion King. Is a lot. No, okay, well, completely justified.
I think you should
it.
Choose one.
One subscription
I think
service.
There's Disney movies on Netflix.
Nah. No, they're not. They've taken them off. Disney wants their $15 a month. Right. Another one would be rates, and I don't know what my rates bill is yet.
This is interesting because Jess bought a new build house. And with a new build, you don't actually know what your property rates are going to be.
It's a fun
when you
game.
Buy the house. It's just like, yeah, it's like roll the dice. Is it going to be $2,000 a year, $4,000 a year?
We could be revisiting my budget again in the next month.
So when I do like mortgage applications, and we do, someone's buying a new build house, I just have to kind of guess like what I think the rates are going to be based on the size and location of the house. So you're kind of taking comparatives and being like, okay, this house has 4 bedrooms and it's in, I don't know, where's a fancy suburb? A fancy suburb. So I'm like, okay, that's got to be like $3,500.
Wow, you just guesstimate it.
Yeah.
Well, I've guesstimated, thanks to Laura, $270 a month. No pressure, Laura.
Bang on, Laura.
If that's wrong. So that works out. So my guesstimation is $60 a week. The national average is $50 a week for rates. Do you know what yours is?
Well, I'm actually a bit confused because I thought they were $78 a fortnight. However, when I went to check last night when I was doing my homework, it seems like they've gone down at some point. So it was somewhere around $50-odd, I think, which
That's
is been on the average. Yeah, it is a win. It's not a win for my property value, though.
Oh, true. It must. Yeah, well, it's linked to that, isn't it? Okay, the last one I want to talk about, we could go through every single line item on our budgets, but the last one that we'll touch on is clothing. And I don't have a clothing budget per se. I work that into my discretionary spend figure. But you worked out how much you spend on clothing.
Don't look at me like that.
Well, you don't know how you compare to the national average. You might not be that bad.
Hey,
clothing and shoes.
I'm actually not much of a shoe person.
Not a shoe guy.
I am a clothing person. Mm. Recently getting into the jewelry space, but I'm not really a shoe person. This is just me deflecting from telling you how much I spend.
Give me the number. Give me the number.
Okay, I did work it out. It's about like $100 a week.
Okay.
On average. Well, that's not every time. On average.
Okay. Keeping my cool, Lovie. No, I'm sure you're not that bad compared to some people, but the average spend in New Zealand is $42 on clothing and footwear a week.
$42? That's like half a t-shirt.
But that's per household.
Wow.
Two. So on average per household, $42.
This
a week.
Is when I get up and leave.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, you know, this is why we're doing
this. Clothing rehab.
This is why we're doing this. Okay, so I guess the point off the back of that, the point of a budget, excuse me, when we're going through these things is to make it as realistic as possible. You don't want to restrict yourself to spending $20 a week on clothes if you know that that's not not realistic for you.
That's up shopping.
Exactly. You want to make sure it's not keeping you constricted in a way that you can't live the life that you want to live.
Yeah.
As James always says, money is a tool to live the life that you want to live. Mm. So that's what we're carving out. We're carving out the life that you want for yourself.
Budgeting is so important, but like mental health and like making sure you still get out there and do things like with your friends, your family, treat yourself occasionally.
It's a real balance.
Yeah. You have to balance it out because having a budget shouldn't mean that you feel like you like can't leave the house.
Absolutely. And that's not the point of it.
No.
It's not the point of it is not to be restrictive. The point of it is to allocate money to those things. So once we've got the income figure, the expenses down, you've now left with a figure. If you go income minus expenses, you're left with either a surplus or a deficit. Obviously, we'd rather a surplus. If there's a deficit, the numbers unfortunately don't lie and you either need to earn more or spend less. Mm. And that can sometimes be easier said than done. But, I guess as a starting point, look through your expenses that you've noted down. What are your essentials and what are your nice to haves? Try and separate those out. Think, well, okay, my essentials are my mortgage and my utilities and those things. My nice to haves are maybe Spotify and Netflix, they're not huge costs.
I think Disney's a nice to have.
Yes, they're a nice to have. Damn it. Is there a change to your lifestyle you can make? Are you going to the biggest, fanciest gym in Auckland? Can you cut back to a city fitness? Are you having champagne and caviar for breakfast, or could you dial it back down to maybe Weet-Bix? something more normal.
Weet-Bix with a little bit of caviar on top. Just treat yourself.
Exactly. Another, I think it's been really useful us going through our budgets together and comparing to our peer group. So what are you spending? What am I spending? Maybe there's some area that you're way overspending in that, your friends aren't, or the people that you associate aren't. It might be good to give you some perspective.
Same with the providers, who do you use for insurance? Yep. Who do you use for power? Maybe your friend is with an insurance company that you never heard of and it's way cheaper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm with PowerShop for my power.
For your power. I tried that once. It was a bit weird.
You feel a bit funny about
the top up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're rolling with now. like I said, reviewing those providers at least once a year, set a reminder in your calendar, whatever it is, just to pop up and, check.
Especially with your insurance, because I just got an email recently saying that my premium is going up $20 a fortnight, and it's already quite expensive. I pay for the maximum Southern Cross health plan.
Oh.
However, I was a bit salty when I saw they were putting it up $20 a fortnight. But then I read that I had claimed $10,000 in the last 12 months. So
is that why they've put it up?
Maybe. But I don't know. I should look into it.
It sounds
right?
like you could do it with a financial advisor to help you Maybe. With that question. Possibly.
Don't look at me with those eyes.
Right. So once you've got your deficit or surplus figure, like I said, deficit, you have to work through those numbers and see if you can find some more room in your budget. But a surplus, we can then work out what to do with it, right? So I think when people are just winging it with no budget or not allocating things into certain categories, that money, that surplus, just goes on whatever. Whereas we want to decide what we're doing with it. Are we working towards a goal? Is it a holiday? Is it a first home deposit? Is it an emergency fund? It could be any of those things. But you should know where that surplus is going. Is it paying down your mortgage quicker? Mm-hmm. Just some examples. And the last step is then to track it. So coming back to PocketSmith, it is scary, but it is also a very good tool to keep you accountable. That's something that we use here. But there are so many budget tracking softwares out there. This one in particular draws your bank transactions straight from your accounts into the software, and then you can allocate it against different categories in your budget. it can be a little complicated to use. So, you know, if you need someone to help you set it up that's used it before, it's something that we do here. But I'm sure people have lots of different programs that they use. You can always let us know what the one is that you use. There might be free ones out there, I'm not sure. But I think that accountability is really important too, to actually, there's no point writing these numbers down if you're not then going to say, or how am I actually tracking against those numbers?
And if you are a master spreadsheeter and a master budgeter, share that spreadsheet with your friends, because not everyone thinks about those kinds of things. And like, how cool to be like, hey guys, here's a tool for you to use. I made it. And then you're helping you and your friends and your family all get on the same page.
Totally. Yeah, such a good point. So I think the key takeaways from today are the budgeting shouldn't be scary. It shouldn't be restrictive. It's not something that's, you know, stopping you from living the life that you want to live. If anything, it's kind of doing the opposite and giving you the freedom to know exactly what you can spend when. It gives you that structure. And it also means that you can work towards your goals in a clear way. So you know exactly where you're tracking against those goals.
Yeah, it's good to know the basics of the budget. You know, we're not talking about, can I put $1,000 in an investment this month? We want you to think about, how much can I spend on, you know, my first mortgage payment? How much can I spend on utilities, things like that? Really take it down to the basics so that you're setting a good foundation for your future goals and you're getting there as quick as possible.
Absolutely. Cool. So on that note, thanks to Partners Life for sponsoring the episode. Don't forget to like, review, and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.